Hey, what's up? This is John Wysocki from Lydia's Castle, and you're listening to Music City Metal.
Hey, this is Tom Hazard, and you are listening to Music City Metal.
Welcome to Music City Metal's bonus episode for January 2024. I'm going to start off tonight, and we're going to turn it over to Mary for the second half of the episode for a mental health metal minute. Try and say that fast. Mental health metal minute. You know, January is Mental Health Awareness Month. Those of you that know Mary and I, that we are very dedicated to suicide prevention with Fish Fest, and it's something, it's a topic that's very dear to us. So Mary Fish will wrap up the episode, but I'm going to talk about a broadcaster named Ian Punnett that was Ian was a big inspiration to me. Ian Punnett passed away December 21st of last year, and I've been listening to him on the radio over 20 years. He actually had his start right here in his early days in Nashville, Tennessee on talk radio. I'm going to play a clip of just about a year ago this month. I called into the radio show to talk about my allergy and kind of just mentioned that Mary and I were down there doing shows, bringing some Nashville bands, and he was very eager to talk about it. So thank you, Ian, for all the inspiration and listening to you over the years and the information that you shared. And here's myself on Coast to Coast in January of 2023. Rest in peace, brother Ian. Mary Fish will wrap up this episode next.
Larry is in Florida, where I'm heading coming up sometime later on this spring to see my dear old mother. Larry, on a wild card line, open lines, where are you going to take us?
Well, this isn't the reason why I called, but you mentioned you're a prog rock fan, and I'm actually from Nashville, and we're down here doing a mini tour with two prog rock bands from Nashville.
Tell me about that. I want to know all about that.
Well, my wife and I have a little podcast and a promotion company. And
what's your podcast?
Music City Metal.
Cool.
We're trying to get the word out there that Nashville is a lot bigger than country music.
Hey, you know, I was the morning guy at 103 KDF for many years.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
I replaced Carl P. when he left.
Wow.
And so I did it with my buddy, the Duke, until I went to WGN in Chicago. And so when I hear things like Queensryche or when we're talking about Enter Sandman, I can picture myself in the studios at 103 KDF popping those CDs on as they came in through the mail, and then just like totally loving it. I'm a big fan of metal. So so you have this little podcast. That's cool. Congratulations on that.
It's fun. And just to get, you know, the interesting to see the young metal bands and how they, you know, these young 23-25 year old kids have 40-50 years of music that they're mulling together.
Sure.
And the new sounds that are coming out are really interesting. You know, the bands that we have here are very Dream Theater-esque style bands.
Which is okay. I used to go to 328 all the time.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
And I would see the bands that were coming through, and I would see some of the hip-hop bands. I saw Ice-T at 328. I saw...
I don't even think that's there anymore.
I was going to ask. And then you go to the Bluebird and you see somebody like a John Hyatt or something. Mm-hmm. It was cool. I love Nashville. It was a great place.
Oh, I love it too. Yeah, we love it as well. And sadly, though, the indie, the kind of independent venues are disappearing.
I bet.
You know, some of the big names are swooping in. But the reason why I called is I have... Have you ever heard of Alpha-Gal Syndrome?
No.
So August of 2020, I was bit by a Lone Star tick. About 10 days later, I got very sick. Developed Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever. And immediately was treated for Lyme disease, which is, and until that blood test comes back, it's the wrong antibiotic. I got very sick.
Right.
Once they figured it out, I was treated. And, you know, a year of COVID, I was one of like 2,000 cases. But as things, you know, after that went away, I just felt like I never got better. I was sick every day, nauseous, dizzy, sweating. hives, rash, all these bizarre thing. And about 2 months go by, and I happenstance talking to a friend, and he said, you know, man, you should look up the meat allergy that you can get from a tick bite.
Oh, interesting.
And, of course, I ran right to my computer, and he's like, call your doctor. So I did, went to my doctor. My doctor never heard of it. She's like, I'll send you to an allergist, and they'll get to the bottom of it. As it turns out, my allergist himself had the disease. And what it is it's a bacteria that gets in from the tick that causes you to have your body attack itself when you consume anything mammalian. Now, it's horrible. I had to give it. And the only treatment is avoidance.
Yeah.
And that was easy. Giving up the meat, you know, I mean, you know, I miss pork, I miss bacon, all that. But the real problem exists is with medications. 80% of pills, capsules, either have gelatin, they either have magnesium stearate. I can't use certain lotions that have lanolin in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's what's very interesting is it's
that's
just
really interesting.
The first trip that I had to the doctor, and he was describing it to me. He's like, yeah, well, we're going to do a test. And he's like, you know, there's this little thing floating around that this was an engineered disease. And I just bought into it. I'm like, oh, man, I listen to Coast, and they did this whole show about Lyme and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I've been trying to get a hold of them to get the word out, and he just immediately backpedaled. And he said, yeah, it's just a theory, though. You know, and as soon as I kind of, like, bought into it and started talking about the whole thing, he just totally backed away from it. But I would highly recommend you looking into it and doing a show on it. Because they estimate that there's a million or two people that have this and don't know it. And they're sick all the time, and they're getting that doctors, like my primary doctor, did not know about it. And, you know, they get treated for Crohn's disease or colitis or, you know, something like that. And recently another bandmate, a band that Mary and I, my wife and I have been working with, a young man, 25 years old, family, lost his job, sick, going to the ER all the time. And we were together, and I'm like, man, your symptoms sound like mine. You know, you should. And as it turns out, he went and got checked out. He had it for 1 year. Not knowing, you know, consuming meat, even smelling bacon, Ian, the alpha galactose enzyme is in the grease in the air. So if I get a strong smell of bacon, I have to go take Benadryl, take Zofran, take a shot of my.
I hate Benadryl.
You know, oh, yeah. Then you just, your knuckles are dragging on the ground. And I do carry an EpiPen now. I've never had to use the EpiPen. Generally, those light treatments work, but.
That's really interesting. I will look into this, and I appreciate that, and I want to kind of get some other people on. But I will tell you, I gave up meat about 2 years ago because I didn't want to go on. You know, I'm just getting older, and my cholesterol was like flirting with this or that. So I gave it up. I use a lot of Impossible when I can, or I just cook vegetarian. I'm not, it's not by principle. I just was trying to lower all of my stuff naturally, so I work out more and whatever. But I will say, every so once in a while, something will have a piece of, like, some meat broth or something like that. I think my body has become sort of resistant to it. As not eating it regularly, I can kind of feel it. And so I've been wondering whether even just myself, I've developed some sort of meat allergy, because I have a weird kind of, it feels like it's not psychosomatic. Alpha galactose enzyme, I'm going to look into that. Sorry you're going through that. Pleasure to talk to somebody else from the Nash, and who also knows that Music City means more than just Lower Broad or Opryland, and that there's some cool stuff on the Rock Block and on Demumbrian, and I hope that'll always be the case, because that was the beauty of Nashville when I lived.
Hey guys, it's Mary with your Mental Health Metal Minute. I think that's what he said before. That is a tongue twister. So, just to go back and clarify, January is not Mental Health Awareness Month. However, it has been designated as Mental Wellness Month. So if you can figure out the difference between... I can't even say it. There are too many M's. If you can figure out the difference between Mental Health Awareness and Mental Wellness Month, shout out, let me know, because I'm sure there's some PhD somewhere that can tell you the difference. But I did want to mention, in all seriousness, the previous segment there with Larry as a guest on the Wildcard Line on Coast to Coast AM radio, talking to Ian Punnett about Nashville, which was actually pretty cool. I don't know, sometimes it's I get the giggles when he's on the radio. But how a chronic illness or a chronic disease or chronic pain can affect your mental health, right? So I think for me, that's kind of where I wanted to follow up with what Larry was talking about. And for those of you that know us, you know, trying to go out to a restaurant with us is a nightmare. If there's an Irish exit and we all of a sudden slip out and we're gone, it's not the company that we're with. It's usually because he's having some kind of allergic reaction to something someone else ate, something, we may have sat on a leather seat. He may have had some type of cross-contamination in the food, but that's become part of our life now for the last 3 years or so, from that just one teeny tiny little tick bite. But the way that this chronic illness, I guess it is an illness now that I'm hearing myself say it out loud, it's definitely chronic. You know, you don't just grow out of it. It isn't just like a one-time allergic reaction to the tick bite. It's ongoing. And what I've seen happen to his mental health, per se, you know, from the outside looking in, when you spend 24/7 with someone, I guess sometimes you don't realize the changes that happen. It just becomes part of normal everyday life, or what you assimilate to normal everyday life. But it's really not normal. Like right now, he's laying down. He was out all day, he worked, he came home, and he's laying down because he probably took a swig of Benadryl out of the bottle, because God forbid you actually measure the dose, you know, so his knuckles are dragging. So here we are in this evening, another evening that just goes by, and he's out of commission. So I think from a mental health standpoint, anyone with some type of chronic illness, I've seen him really challenge himself to smile, to be happy, to have fun, to not self-medicate, which has been a huge challenge over the last several months that I've seen him successfully overcome, not without its temptations, you know. I guess I'm one of the lucky ones. My off switch still works, knock on wood. Point being is that if you have someone in your life or yourself that has some type of chronic disease and illness, those type of things change your outlook. They change the way your brain copes with stress. And even with happiness. Again, I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be, but I've seen it firsthand. I've seen what the medical machine doesn't know about a lot of these diseases, and how it baffles me that mental health is now just all of a sudden, like since the COVID debacle, has become more prevalent everywhere in television commercials, at work. I feel like we're able to talk about it more often, but I feel like there's still a stigma. There is still hesitation in people, you know, especially in the metal community. You guys are big, badass, tattooed, long-haired, bearded, motorcycle riding, leather wearing dudes. You're not going to say that, you know, a chronic illness or some type of like chronic pain has got you down. No, you're going to suck it up, buttercup, and power through it, because that's what, as an American society, you guys have been taught to do. I think females have been taught to do that just from a different angle, right? Suck it up, buttercup, quit crying like a girl. I think that can apply to anyone, but I think that makes it harder to talk about. I think it makes it harder to get help from the medical community. because you think that they're going to look at you like you're crazy. They're just going to throw antidepressant pills at you and say, oh, you're just depressed. Here, take a pill, get over it. You know, do some exercise, take a walk, take a bubble bath, journal, you'll be fine. While all those things may help, walking out of a doctor's office with just a prescription and a couple of notes on what to do next, some people don't process information that way. Some people need a coach. There's a lot of really great life coaches out there. There's a lot of really great sponsors out there in the recovery world. There's a lot of great neighbors. We have had, past tense, a great neighbor. You know, somebody you can count on, somebody you can depend on. So I think we have to make it okay for ourselves to reach out to those type of resources for support. And it's, you know, it's really all in how you use the language. Is it help? Is it support? It doesn't matter. It's just all of us teaming up as a community together and being there for one another so that we can keep going to shows. We can keep running around in circles in a mosh pit and our neck not hurt the next day and you have to go to the chiropractor, right? So with that, I will leave you with goodbye. But wait, he's not here. I guess I have to. You want to make the world a better place? Commit a random act of kindness to a complete stranger.